You're trying to leave this out. You need these chairs later, so thank you.
Do we need pictures? I don't know. Before we start with the presentation, a big thank you actually for everybody who's organizing this room. So thanks to Lea, to Felix, and to Thorsten, and also to Sven who's helping us. So a round of applause on that side.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having us here. And we are here to talk a little bit about the German perspective on how we currently working around building sovereign software for public sector. And I'm here with my colleague Alex. I'm responsible for the platform part at Zenith, where we talk a bit quite soon. And Alex is with me here.
Doing the products,
or the products part of Zenith. Maybe one starting point with big numbers. It's always a good thing. So last year in Germany, we spent more than 1 billion just on federal licenses for software within the German government. So it means like there's a big question. This is all software we don't own, where we don't have an independent and sovereign solution, and it's not innovation for society on a longer term. So that's a point of stepping in and saying, okay, is there a part of this money that we could use for a more sovereign perspective on that? And this is where the Center of Digital Sovereignty came in place. It was founded 2 years ago, actually, but 1 year ago, we really started stepping up. The idea came from government side saying 5 years ago, okay, we have a high level of dependency in the software. Software stacks we're using at public sector, and we need to find a way of tackling those things. And the Zenith is a full state-owned, publicly-owned company. Our function is, we just hear the OSPO term, being the open source program office on one place, so being working like an institution helping the public sector getting into those fields and into usage of that. And also being an active solution supplier where we are providing things like OpenDesk for the administration. And we heard already some of our colleagues here talking about their project in France and EU, and we are kind of in a close contact to each other and work together on those fields. Maybe a few words on the sovereignty term we work with. So I think one of the most important things is having a choice of choosing between options. So being not able doing that as a public sector is not like a big deal on negotiating any contracts. So you're sitting there and saying, okay, I need that, give me a price, I need to sign. So, and if you have a choice, if you have an option, you're able to go through. And we all know there's a lot of things to do to be getting back to a state where we're really able to choose between options in that way. And also, for sure, we need to adapt in a way. We need to bring our own features, our requirements into it, and also having a strong seat on the table, negotiating those things and defining how digital structure is defined in the common age. And that came to the two, one of the two main pillars we're working at the centers. The one is talking about products. And the other one is building a platform where distribution and the OSPO ruling can take place for the whole public sector. And I will hand over to my colleague here.
Cool. Thanks. Sick. Perfect. We are always attached to each other, just like the development circle, so to say, also in that regard. OpenDesk. Many of you already know of OpenDesk, but we call it our office and collaboration suite. And basically, if you want to have a look at it, also just visit our website and get a demo. But also, what you have is a bundle of applications in which you can have your day-to-day productivity, collaboration, and also all sorts of communication all in one. I think it's really important to say that OpenDesk is something that we don't develop ourselves, but it's always a product which is based on a big, we call ourselves an OpenDesk family, but a network of partners. So we have a general service provider, we have a possibility to have a software as a service solution, but also we have a great network of partners. There was a dev room just yesterday in the afternoon with many of the colleagues from all sorts of companies. Some of them are here and are obviously also going to maybe share and talk if you want to on their partnership with us and OpenDesk. So it's a product which consists of many products actually. I think it's really important just to, it's always good to give numbers in a presentation. So we launched in mid-October last year with our first enterprise solution. Ever since, we had over 1,000 different public institutions and administrations on all sorts of federal, state levels, but also from other countries, asking us and giving us inquiries in regards to the usage of OpenDesk, which is more than we ever hoped and expected at the beginning, but it's really cool and it shows that there is an urge and a need. And as of January, we started also providing enterprise licenses to different partners, so to say, and we have over 40,000 active users by beginning of this month. So it's really cool to see that we are jumping all the time. We had a few thousand less, which we announced in January. Now we are climbing a little bit, but we are going hopefully further up and up in that regard, so to say. And it's really important, I think, to show that it's not just a demo or a use case which we were working on somewhere in like in a dark room with no window, but we have actually people using it and having it in their day-to-day lives. It's really important, and that's one part of the sovereignty aspect which we have, is that there are different options how you can deploy it. Sometimes, especially for the non-tech world, so to say, it's really, it sounds mind-blowing that you can have something not only as a software as a service solution, but also in a self-hosted environment nowadays. This is something which is really important, especially for institutions within the security sector, for example. Sometimes we never talk about that, but there are projects with special infrastructure where people are thinking about deploying OpenDesk. What we are also working on is a solution right now in regards to confidential cloud computing, because there are there are a few agencies also in the German government which are located mostly outside of Germany, so they need some sort of a secure access, and that's where we are with some of our partners looking into how we can deploy that. Also thanks to that, because some of them are in the room. Next one. I think it's really important, and that's the topic, and that's where I'm going to start the story, so to say, of why we work on OpenDesk. On open code, and what we call it, it's some sort of a developer experience. It's not the question in regards to what kind of tool you want to put your Git into, but it's the question what kind of outcome you can have when you use this kind of software. And if we go back, I don't know who here is some sort of a public servant or in a public administration. Well, then the question the other way around: who is somewhere in the private sector? Cool. So you are the ones who I'm going to address right now. but basically all of us sometimes had an idea, and we had an idea and we wanted to give it to somebody within the public administration, because we say public sector is a super cool place to host or to have your software in. And then you come to the public sector and you say, I have an idea, and suddenly the public sector, which is always a great sort of, this is some sort of a high-end visual story right now, which you are experiencing. But then in the public sector, there are always restrictions, right? So there are restrictions in regards to security, procurement. We always hear that. There are questions in regards to quality, but also in regards to the support which is being provided. And we always get the question on how to get in. And Leonard, how can we get in?
That's the point of taking over, thanks. So this is the part where we can only talk about the product part of the sovereignty, saying also we need to tackle the whole concept of access to it, of how get fit into the tooling and the using, and how to make it automated and really useful that we have stable and long-lasting toolings. So open code on that. Yeah, open code is also one of these key projects of the German government, saying, okay, this is part. We use open code is an enabler for digital sovereignty for the whole sector, so everything around skills, services, and solution, which we need to strengthen those aspects. And for sure, this is be done with open source, because this is a toolkit that helps us getting here very fast and much, much more progress on the line. In the beginning, and we'll start off a bit telling about the history of open code, which is 20 years. Old now, we got it. We in charge of that since 1 year now with the Zendesk, and it started as a software directory for the public sector, and we're now discussing more and more around what does it mean as a platform for digital sovereignty. And in this, I would call it the version one of open code. When to get this more, all these questions around the entry door, it was really important defining for the sector and the political aspects, saying what kind of we need a software directory where we start collecting all those open source solutions, because we realize there is a lot, there's everywhere, also in the public sector, but we don't have any overview, and that makes it really difficult getting into cooperation, which is one of the key things of open source. So seems like this is a big issue. Having a place there is important. So this was step one. Then, for sure, make a definition what is open source for the public sector. So yeah, this is not a new invention. For sure, we use the OSI definitions and just made it in a more public sector suitable effort and communication layer usable for that as well. And then we started talking about license catalog, because we have 13,000 public sector institutions in Germany. When they all start to need getting knowledge about all the 500 different open source licenses out there on the ground, it will never lead us anywhere. And these are kind of questions we need to answer when a public sector wants to sign contracts around that. So we have now with Open Code one place where we legally checked over 500 open source solutions. That's all publicly on our website, and made an allow list for the public sector, saying when you have a component which says it's open source and it uses this license and it's good, you can go proceed further, go on the next level of your contracts. And then sure, it needs a platform collaboration, so any member of the public sector needs to have the possibility to collaborate there, and this on a for them unrestricted and free way. And the last one is talking a lot about policy and government, so figuring out how can we now, when we have a place like this, how can we bring in the general daily processes of government. So this was the open code version one. And this is for sure, these are all the topics we are discussing here all about. It's discovering, understanding open source, sharing, developing code for sure. It's finding and using software. It's documenting and sharing all this knowledge. It's offering participation and on forums. And in our example, we offered a discourse and where a lot of groups are changing their ideas and their experiences with that. We're building community structure around that. And we give direct support to public sector members when they have questions, how can I get on board for this, and the first steps for me to get into that. And for now, we have around 4,500 users in Germany around this project. These are more than 1,000 publicly available projects right now on the platform, even more on the private side, because sometimes needs time or have other opinion to work together and to get into using of these toolings. And they also start now realizing, okay, if I use something like a repository and like a GitLab, there are toolings like static pages. They make my life easier getting into website deploying out there, and this is something I don't need to have a long procurement process. This tooling is all there, and we can really make things much. It's free in a way, because it doesn't cost extra money, and you can do it by your own. So it's self-empowering in a broader way. So one of these overall layers on the platform open code is this being a community of many communities. So we don't have one community. It's more like we try having with our formats, we creating a Zendesk, a perspective, saying we want to be having an overview what kind of communities are out there and how can we bring them together? What's useful there? Who needs maybe to talk to whom and to learn and to share experiences and stuff like this? We have toolings which get now out of this toolbox we have there and which get more and more used by members of ministries and stuff like this. For example, one of this year is really interesting. There's a federal layer, the highest board, which is talking about the IT architecture policy in Germany. And their process so far was sending emails and bringing all those answers year by year together and having an negotiated policy in a way. But for us, it might be quite easy. Okay, use a repository, use it as a transparent way of versionizing those content, and we need to get some steps, but then we also get a lot of possibility we never had before. So in this example, we have a repository in the middle, then we have a front end, which makes it really easy comparing the different version, also colored layered for people who might be not really into having this, want to see this on a Git view. And on the output layer, we can generate the next static context of these versions, also generating accessible PDF document, license-free, or other machine-readable formats, which might be used to connect with the next steps and processes we have day by day in the security sector. So the collaboration platform itself with this tool starts getting new concepts of how to use it. For the sector, it's a really big step. I know for many people here in the room, it might not be, but it's like a cultural shift we're seeing right now, which is, I guess, for everyone of us, really important. We have a batch program. This is all about how can we recognize software quality. And currently, we are on our way next month, starting with the first batches in this case. When you have a repository in our software catalog, makes it really easy to understand, okay, what can I use it? So there's a question in public sector, yeah, this is software, but is it real, and can I use it, and is it secure, and all this stuff. So we think it's important that we add those extra information as much as we get an information on the software catalog, and ensuring that there's a first understanding of, okay, this is a real thing, and it's used by others, and it's also driven and run in operational environments and all this stuff. And maybe it's even already a bit of CVE checked and all those things. So this is a really important way you're getting open source and sovereign solutions into public sector. And then there's when it comes to the sovereignty tile, we say, okay, this platform part, this has kind of a machine room in it. And on sovereignty, when we talk about sovereign products like OpenDesk, we also need to think about how is these components of OpenDesk, how gets they distributed, and what is the software supply chain underneath that's playing a role in that way, because only if we are able to look at this as well, we are really can have a sovereign perspective as public sector. Means when we talk about OpenDesk, we're talking about container technologies for sure. And when it comes to container technologies, we need to raise a lot of questions as a sector. So the first one is stability in a way. So how reliable is this container distributor for us? So it's all the question on a little bit other frame, what does happen with our digital infrastructure when Docker Hub is down or has a kind of a new entry key on that? So I guess a lot of people in the room would start being, okay, that's going to be a problem for me and maybe or my colleagues as well, and it's a lot of work to be done. So, but actually the main point is we are not really currently prepared around situations like that, and this is a problem. And when it might be a really big success in the last 20 years in digitalization, but we cannot proceed the next decade on that. Security at all on this supply chain. So what is the chain of a way this container came to me? Can I have a look into it? No, not really. So no chance on this way. And who created these containers? Anyway, so I would say from time to time, okay, some of these containers we're using, they're just from the internet, so I don't know more. And I guess on content-wise, it has not been always a good idea just taking the stuff from the internet, and I think we should do it with the core components as well. And then we had a lot of talks around, and I think there's a whole dev room as well, and yesterday really good talks about the S-bombs. Yeah, there are these S-bombs, and it looks good. Okay, we have a long list of things on it, but we are not really have the toolings working with it, making detection and analysis and all this stuff, which we need to have this as a really good tooling, ensuring this is proper software. So we are highly depending on those things, so we have to address this as public sector. meaning being an infrastructure provider by ourselves, going into this role and offering solutions on that, thinking about offering decentralized container image supply infrastructure. So also there, we just here on the Nubis side, what it means on structure, infrastructure layers, but I would also say this is really important if we want to be stable on cloud. There's a lot about hardening and ensuring the container safety. For now, we don't really have the correct rules and criteria negotiated that makes it able to put a stamp on a container and saying, so, okay, this is the rules and criteria we need in the public sector. It's still a lot of work to be done working on that. And then all these toolings around SBOMs and around. For us at OpenCode, it means this is our next list of things we currently want to work on, saying this is really what we need on the supply chain and on the distribution infrastructure. We want to provide a secure build and development environment for developing those services. We already put in an attestation service around OpenDesk. We want to establish this registry for all these artifacts that we can use and also rebuild, so being able to really know what's in there, what we're using. We need to negotiate more around the criteria for this supply chain evidence and builds, and all these build up on a more decentralized distribution concept. Because we not want to get in,
How? What's our relation, so to say, to the partners which we work with at OpenDesk? And what comes with contribution, so to say, in that regard. Feature requests we do, it's a long process of planning. Maybe two colleagues can raise their hands, René and Victor. If you have questions in regards to product or tech, these are the guys who are building OpenDesk. And everything we do, two main things, I think, to mention. First, all the contributions which we do are part of the OpenDesk Community Edition. We don't fund anything which is behind some sort of a fence. That's one thing. And the other thing is that everything that we do is always upstream within the products. So whenever there is something that we invest into one of the products, it always benefits or is beneficiary for the entire community. Next question.
And one over there, one over there.
Could you maybe talk about your collaboration with France and the Lesuite? And I also understood that the Netherlands are entering that collaboration as well.
Yeah, we had.
Thanks.
My own card. The question is in regards to how we work with France and with the Netherlands. We had a session this morning already on that regard, and we will have one. The one after the panel, so it's
in half an hour
or so. So you can see the results of our collaboration, so to say. Basically, we work together on joint projects because we see that digital sovereignty does not end at one's borders, and you can use the same open source tools in different products and suites. Yeah.
Over there. You're thinking about the international collaboration. Are you hoping that there will be like an umbrella from the EU spreading out, or are you more like a grassroots, each country do a fork of open code?
So the question is, if we want to do something with other countries, do we need an umbrella or is it grassroots? I think so far, and it's proven us properly, that grassroots is a good way to start that. But at some point, you will need an umbrella. But the umbrella should not dictate, because usually whenever there is an umbrella, someone in the grassroots or in the bottom, so to say, is holding it, and that should be kept in motion that way.
Gladly. currently, I will maybe get back to this one. The question was to expand on the SBOM toolchain, which you just mentioned. So one of the things we're currently working on is this batch program, saying, okay, there is a lot of open source tooling around which helps us doing analysis and SBOM creation. So we use, for example, the open source the toolkit, or also Trivi for container scanning and all this stuff. We're also using for our software catalog a standard which is called public code in YAML. And the idea is we need to bring the results of this running and automated as much as possible, and also scaling it up to the UX, so make it possible that the results get aggregated to something which I really can see in the software catalog and giving me a first impression of this, for example, okay, this is CVE scanned and nothing found for today and for now, so for example. Yeah. But I think we need to expand this quite a lot more, because all around this, having a project like OpenDesk with maybe thousands of entries on the SBOM, it's like, it's a really huge thing getting it automated and day by day generated and having good analysis on this. So I think there needs to be developed much more on the tool chain for now. Okay, there's many more questions. Please reach out, but
we have
our time is
for
up.
One question.
Okay, one question.
You decide.
Over there.
It's okay. Yeah. I get the idea, and maybe that's a good teaser. So the question was whether it's just the web or maybe also an operating system. And let's see each other next year, and then we will talk about that. And before we go, we do something really German, and it's called Stoßlüften. So
please open the door,
and open the windows, and you see each other, or we see each other in the next panel. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.